Welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com for the latest news, scores, stories, and more. If you subscribe today, you can use Podcast 20. That's P-O-D-C-A-S-T 20 for 20% off an annual subscription. We are excited for today's new episode that features Kayla Kowalik from the University of Kentucky. Ree, we're almost there. I think we're a month away from season. How are you doing this week?
Good. The countdown. Yeah. I've seen everyone on social media like, hey, 30 days away, month away. It's really exciting. I'm gearing up, man. I can't wait for that to start. It's, football's over. Just got basketball. Softball's going to start. Then baseball. It's spring will come. It's a really exciting part of the season. So I'm ready for it.
Yeah. The national championship game was this week. Congratulations to Georgia. And I think that means it's officially softball season. It does in my mind. So I think everybody can switch gears now and get into softball mode. So that happened this week. We also had big news in the softball world. They announced the women's national team this week after they had the selection trials down in Florida. Ree, let's name off that list of who made Team USA. Who do you got?
Yeah, we got, a good mix here. For, we've got obviously starting with the GOAT, Monica Abbott. We said she's going to play until she's like 62. So that's good. Allie Aguilar, Allie Carda, Charla Eccles, Hannah Flippin, Jalen Ford, Montana Fouts, Kinsey Hansen, Janae Jefferson, Amanda Lorenz, Haley McClenley, Michelle Moultrie, Deja Mulipola, Bubba Nichols, Taylor Pleasance. And the replacements are Megan Faramo, Sammy Reynolds, and Gwen Svekis, which is always a tough one to say, but I say it.
You got it.
Yeah. I always look at it and I'm like, I'm going to say that wrong. And then thankfully I didn't. So in terms of the college representation, we got four conferences represented, six from the SEC, nine from the Pac-12, CAA with one, woo, CAA, Big 12 with two, got 11 former student athletes and seven that are currently on NCAA teams from 12 Division I universities, and three of those have won Women's College World Series titles. So got a good, obviously good college representation always on the American team.
Yeah, I think every selection team, everybody has their comments and I think every coach is going to choose a different type of style team. I actually was pleasantly surprised with the list when it came out. I think it's a good mix. We talked about this, Ree, of some veterans and some youth that will help the future of the U.S. Women's National Team. You've got Abbott, Carta, Ford, and Fouts in the circle, with possibly Faramo stepping in if something was to happen to one of those. And Kinsey Hansen, young catcher behind the dish, as well as Deja Mulipola. So just, I'm excited to see how they do this summer in Birmingham. And what can I say? We've been talking about Amanda Lorenz, and arguably we think the best hitter in the world. So excited to see her back on that that team and that list. And you've got your stalwarts, Haley McClenney. She had an incredible Olympics. She didn't make the tryout, but she is on the team. Her and Abbott, I believe, are. And Allie Aguilar was illness injury kind of waiver. They weren't actually at the tryouts, but those three are on the list. So that's it. The U.S. Women's National Team, they'll be playing in Birmingham at the World Games this summer. So we'll be excited to see how they do this summer. And other news of the week, we've got our fall reports up on the site. We had Campbell. I did a report on Campbell. The Camels, they won the regular Big South Conference Championship and then the Tournament Championship. So go on over and check that out. And we've got UCLA up as well. Graham Hayes just did a report on UCLA, the Bruins, and what they've kind of got coming back there in Westwood. Ree, any other news for the week?
No, those were good. I mean, we're officially ending the fall reports because it's now, it's winter, very wintry. I can vouch for that. And then we're starting the season. So we got to pull the plug at some point. There's just so many schools to do that we, it's so much good information. And the one UCLA is up, and that's great. I mean, that's a really good one to kind of end on. But yeah, check those out. Cause, and you know, as you're gearing up and if you're just starting to kind of check into softball now, go check out that Fall Report Central we have, because you can kind of find out what you may need to speed up on before you start watching the games. You got 30 days from now, they're 29 maybe, to start reading every one of those stories. If you two a day, you can probably get through them, two or three a day. Yeah, it's been great. It's been fun to read those and really excited just to kind of see after talking with it. And things will change, obviously, because these coaches, they're still, a lot of the feel I got with a lot of these fall reports is just like competition, 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 all the way up to the first pitch. And then even through the first month, it's like we're figuring out who goes where. Obviously, there's some stalwarts that are going to be at their positions, but a lot of it's just like, hey, we're just going to let them fight it out and whoever's the best put on the field. So I'm interested to see what, from the fall reports, even what changes to what we see, you know, opening day, and then how that evolves throughout the season.
So that's it for the fall reports for NM this week. And that means we're going to be dropping our preseason content next week. So stay tuned for all the preseason content and a little rebrand refresh for D1 softball. We're going to get rid of that brown in the logo.
Yes. You know, you're the expert at this. I trust you. You're very, very, very high on this idea of a rebrand, and I'm excited to see it because I've seen little bits and I think everyone else will be excited. I am not the person to do this sort of stuff. I'm very boring and have no idea about style or sense of anything. So I'm glad you were in charge of this part of it, but I think everyone's going to be really excited to see it. Kind of a good way to kick off this 2022 season.
Yeah. So next week, be on the lookout for the new look on D1 softball, fresh, new, bright. And I think it will align with softball in our sport in Division I softball. So stay tuned for that. Now, Ree, we're going to introduce our guests for the week. Who do we got?
We have none other than Kentucky catcher Kayla Kowalik, who had an amazing season last year. I mean, just ridiculous numbers. And we learn a little bit about her family, her twin sister that is a pitcher, which is pitcher catcher twindom is the best thing ever. And we learn a little bit about her pregame habits, which is quite entertaining at the end. So I think everyone's going to love this interview with Kayla Kowalik. We are now joined on the D1 softball podcast by Kentucky catcher Kayla Kowalik. The senior's coming off one of the best seasons in program history by far. The All-American hit .495 with 12 home runs, 11 doubles, 7 triples, 103 hits, 80 runs scored, and 38 RBIs, stole 23 bases, and caught almost every single game on top of that. So quite impressive. And last week, she was able to attend the U.S. national team tryouts in Florida. So we're going to talk to her a little bit about that experience as well. But first of all, thank you so much, Kayla. Welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's start right there since it's fresh in your mind. I mean, going down there with, it was like, you know, 70 of the top players in the country, some from college, mostly, you know, a lot of pros. How was that experience getting those tryouts with the U.S. national team?
Oh, I think it was awesome. It was absolutely a dream. Anybody that's ever been anybody in softball was there, and it was, you know, really cool. It's such a good learning experience to be able to look at, you know, everybody around you. I don't think I've ever seen so many people in a ballpark who could miss hit a home run. So that was pretty awesome. And, you know, to be able to play with them was just completely different story. It was really just a dream.
What were the days like? It looked pretty intense. I mean, I was texting a few people that I know that were there, and it was like they had like 10 minutes a day to like actually like take a break. It looked pretty intense. What were the days like there? How did it structure for you?
So for the 4 or 5 days that I was there, it was, you know, the day we got in, we had, you know, dinner meetings and, you know, get your practice stuff. And we kind of just jumped straight into it the next morning. We were up at breakfast by 6:30, 7:30. And you had a little bit of time after breakfast to kind of get your stuff. And first morning we did just evaluations where, you know, you throw to bases, I threw down to second, kind of stuff. And by the time that was over, we were split up into two teams. So by the time that was over, it was time for lunch. And then you would go to lunch, have a little bit of a break, and then we would, you know, go out to the field and scrimmage. And that's kind of how the next 3 days went, was we were doing scrimmages and situational scrimmages where we faced every single pitcher. every pitcher for both teams, and I got to catch every single pitcher. So that was definitely really fun and really challenging and kind of a big mental challenge there for me. But it was loaded with a lot of scrimmages, a lot of games, a lot of at-bats, but a lot of fun.
Was there one, like, I can't believe this is my life moment that you had while there?
You know, I don't, not sure. Oh my gosh. I think, you know, kind of the first day that I was out there, because I was kind of still getting to know faces, still getting to know everybody and warming up for the first scrimmage. And I'm with all the catchers. And of course I'm a slapper, and not many catchers are slappers. So I think I was definitely the only slapping catcher there. So all my catchers in our hitting group were just dropping bombs, and I'm sitting there making sure that I bunt and making sure that I'm putting the ball on the ground. And I was just like, all right, we're good. So that was definitely a moment.
Well, you slapped away 12 home runs last year, so you still got some power in that bat, man.
A little bit of power. We'll credit it to the bat, though.
Well, being that, now you can bring that experience back to Kentucky, obviously, and you know, we're through fall workouts. We're now like a month away from the season starting, which is really exciting. How does the team look? How are you, as you know, a senior captain, kind of assessing the team and how you guys are approaching the season?
Oh, no, I think we are 100% ready. It's always, you know, kind of a little nerve wracking coming back from break and, you know, who's, you know, back and still in shape and who's not in shape. But I haven't looked at, you know, anybody being like, we're all in shape. We're all ready to play softball and we all look really good. So I'm super excited for this next month of development to jump straight into season and be completely ready for our first set of games.
Yeah. And when we were talking to, you know, for the fall report, Coach Larson, Rachel Larson, she was, you know, the pitching staff is a little different this year. It's going to be a kind of a work in progress. What is your role in that? Because obviously, you know, you're working with all these pitchers. How do you feel like you're going to try to help guide them into making that more, you know, more of a strength as the season goes on?
Well, definitely my job, I think, especially for the beginning parts of this season, are going to be, you know, kind of a confidant for our pitchers and making sure that they're confident on the mound, making sure that, you know, they know that I have their back, because we lost a lot of our experience last year in Autumn Humes and Grace Ballman. So we don't have a lot of pitching experience. We may have years of experience on our staff, but definitely making sure that our pitchers are comfortable and that they know that I have their back behind the plate.
How did you become a catcher, and kind of why did you feel like that was the position for you? Because obviously, you know, it's not something that everyone volunteers for. So how did you come to that?
Well, I would categorize myself as a ball hog in a nice sense. When I have a twin sister who plays at St. Louis University. And when she started off pitching, and she was like, I really want to pitch. She doesn't pitch anymore. But when she was pitching, I was like, man, she was doing stuff all the time. And I was like, I want to catch her. Tried out pitching, really hated it. So that was kind of my way of being involved in everything. I don't think I have the attention span to just not do anything for long periods of time. And sometimes that happens when you're playing other positions. So catching is definitely something that keeps me engaged and able. I think I have a very loud personality. So it enables me to use that loud personality and, you know, make sure that everybody on the field knows what's going on and, you know, how the game's being run.
Yeah, definitely. Totally see that. I was, you know, just being somewhere where you can't touch the ball or something. It's hard if you have that personality trait. So it's good you saw that early. And I did not know you had a twin sister, and I did not know. So this is great information. That's amazing. How much do you guys, you know, I know the twin thing is strong with a lot of them. I have twin nieces. I've covered a lot of twins. How much do you guys keep in contact? What is it like being apart in college? How does that work?
So we definitely kind of knew. Our mom raised us. She was very good at making sure that we were independent of each other and in our family, because we knew kind of we wanted to go out of Texas when we played softball. So she did a very good job at making sure that we weren't dependent on each other. But it was kind of a joke my freshman year when we moved in, because we shared a room our entire lives, 18 years. And for several of those years, we shared a bed. And it was my freshman year when we moved in, it was kind of a running joke of Coach Lawson being like, have you talked to your sister? Have you talked to your mom? And I think I went up until Thanksgiving that I went home and saw Gabby, that we actually spoke. And we're like, oh yeah, the semester's going fine. So it's kind of a joke that I didn't speak to her at all the first semester of freshman year, but we definitely talk a lot more and keep each other up to date. And we have regular phone calls now that we're, you know, accustomed to our own lives.
That's good. That's a long time though, man. I know some of them, like, they can't go minutes without, and you know, that's kind of crazy.
Oh, definitely.
The season you had last year, I mean, it was remarkable, and we were tracking it, and like, you know, everyone kind of thought, oh, the average is going to drop once you get an SEC. It never did. You know, take us through that year. Did you feel like you were set up for that, or how did you process that? From the outside, it looked amazing, but how were you processing that?
So I definitely like would have never expected something like that. A 300 batting average is really good, but just kind of my mindset was, I like to make every single pitch a challenge. Like, I'm going to win every single pitch that the pitcher throws at me. And sometimes, you know, you're going to lose more often than not. But I just, with that mindset, kind of forced me to move on. So I would have an at bat and I'm like, okay, well, now I have to move on to the next at bat. And I'm like, I didn't really think about like in the past what I had done, or I just like to keep a forward thinking mindset. Because I think sometimes when you get lost on, oh, I just struck out, or oh, I got out, then it just creates this snowball effect of overthinking and overanalyzing the game, when really I think that the most beneficial thing that's going to help you in the box, just keep it simple, and just trying to minimize every single factor.
Yeah, you did that really well. That was amazing. You know, 495 is crazy. Like, that is like, that's not even like high school. Like, some kids don't even hit that in high school that are like all Americans. So
yeah, definitely didn't expect that.
That being said, and I know I spoke about this with Coach Larson as well, it's just trying not to, like, this season live up to those, you know, it's such a high number. Are you conscious of that? Are you trying not to be like comparative and making sure that
you're like, people make it like really quick to like bring it up, but yeah, I really just know that I need to go into this season with a clean slate and a clean mind and just kind of play the game that I'm going to be happy with playing. I love playing softball. So focusing on that aspect rather than the statistics, because I'm going to tell, like, batting 495 and, you know, batting 300 in a season, still the same amount of stress when you go into an at bat. So just, it's the same ball game, and I'm just trying to keep it that way.
Who is maybe, you know, in the SEC you face a lot, but any pitcher that really you felt like was the hardest to go against, or you just had something like, man, this one's always tougher for me?
Interesting. I will say, I think it also was just kind of like a shock factor of, you know, jumping in from preseason straight into SEC play. But last year playing at Florida, I had a pretty rough time with the pitchers. And I think I just did a bad job at making adjustments. But Florida definitely had my number last year, that I'm hoping at some point I'll be able to make that up.
Yeah, Hightower, them are back though. Yeah, you got to get the scouting report there. Why did you, we discussed the catching, but how did you start playing softball? Why did that come into your life? How did you get into that?
Yeah, so my mom played D2 basketball in college down in Texas. And so she always really knew she wanted to have her kids active. She didn't want us sitting around and playing video games. She didn't want us, you know, just being cooped up inside. So she kind of pushed us to play a bunch of sports when we were growing up. I have two brothers and a twin sister, and we all played probably almost every single sport under the sun at some point. And as we gradually got older, it was kind of, you know, we would drop a sport and decide we didn't like it. And for the most part, I like dropped a bunch of sports just based off of running factor. Like soccer, once the field got big, I was like, yeah, I don't really want to run that much. And basketball, I was like, I really don't like doing suicides all game. So softball kind of ended up being the last thing I got stuck with, because it was just the right amount of running. And it kept it, like, it was fun to be able to, you know, play with my sister all the time, and us like be in like roles like pitching and catching that were, you know, so personal, and us interacting like that.
That's good, man. Yeah, the no running, that's, you know, you deduced that I do not like, so you wouldn't be on the cross country team. That was not going to be your thing. So that being said, softball is such a big part of your life. What do you want to do in life beyond softball?
You know, I definitely still up in the air. Right now I'm working towards applying and pursuing my MBA for the next 2 years. So fingers crossed that works out and that's in my future. But beyond that, I kind of have an open door with kind of what I want to do. I foresee myself at some point in the near future kind of giving back to softball. I would love to be a coach at some point in some fashion, just because I've had so many good and influential coaches, especially like on staff here at Kentucky and, you know, growing up with travel ball. I've had so many influential coaches that have helped me and guided me that I would like, I want to be that for somebody.
When you're not, and this is, you know, there's not much free time in your life, I'm sure, but any hobbies beyond like playing softball or, you know, when you're not studying?
Yes. So some of my hobbies kind of, I do enjoy, which I'm going to hopefully jump back into. Whenever we used to stay, I would go to the shelter and hang out with the animals that, cause that would just make me happy. But, I love doing art and, I'm a big book nerd. So when I have off time, definitely either reading, doing art, or, hopefully if the animals show, I'll need to double check on that, but hanging out with animals.
Do you have any pets yourself?
I do not currently. Currently looking for one, but not right now in my apartment.
Yeah, well, that's tough to be an athlete and have a pet. So I totally, that's a responsible thing to do sometimes, is just not have one, because you can't spend time with it when you're traveling. Definitely. How about favorite author? Like any terms of books and stuff, any genre or author you really like?
I really enjoy like thriller books. Or like psych thrillers. So anything like Stephen King is kind of really good. The movies they produce from his books are really good. So I like reading it and then going to see it. Kind of some of my things.
That's good. Those are good choices. Last few, favorite player, whether it doesn't, I mean, softball, baseball, even just favorite athlete in general.
Favorite player. Well, growing up, I definitely looked up to, I get that she's a pitcher, but I definitely looked up to Jenny Finch. Absolutely loved what she did. You know, I went to like her pitching camp when I was younger, and I loved how interactive, you know, everything was and getting to see that. So that was definitely a big player in my eyes. And then Natasha Watley, who used to play for the national team, was definitely someone that, you know, I wanted to be like.
Two good choices. Very good choices. So, all right, we'll leave you on this last one. Very hard hitting here. Pre-game, post-game meals. What are your go-tos?
Oh, so that would be kind of up to whatever we're ordering, but I usually like to stick to, so my pre-game meals usually consist of a whole bunch of caffeine and then like a sandwich. So it gets me like amped up and ready to go. And I kind of get in my mind, like, my pregame routine is like, especially at home games, is I like to drive around for like 2 hours before a game drinking caffeine. And then I show up to the field like shaking, and I'm like, eat a sandwich, and then I'm ready to go. And then my post game would have to be anything pasta related. Absolutely.
So you just randomly drive 2 hours just consuming mass amounts of caffeine?
Absolutely. I think that the Lexington suburbs just can't wait for me to graduate, because I just blast music, and I know I disrupt so many people's days, but it's okay. It works.
They're like, who's that crazy woman chugging the caffeine and driving around our neighborhood?
They can't wait to not see my Texas license plate.
That is so cool. Now they know, though. Maybe they didn't know. Now we all like
Now they know who to look for. Great.
I think you'll be fine with it. Knowing the Kentucky fans, they'll be like, do what you got to do, Kayla. You're fine. So, and what, when you say, I mean, does the caffeine vary? Is it only coffee? Is it Mountain Dew? Is it like
drinks? So I usually stick to like energy drinks and coffee. It's kind of my thing. That's pretty much my go-to.
There you go. Well, I'm glad you sneak a sandwich in there, because like that on an empty stomach, right? Be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Smart. I had to think smart, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's good. It's good. You're balancing it there. That's really good. So, wow, this has been really, this is one of my favorite ones. This is great. I might have to come up and, you know, do the first person in the car with Kayla, like during Chris, can I do that? We got this ID on them. I'm going to do that. I'm going to make that interview work. We're going to do I want to go around blasting music and drinking coffee with you.
Fantastic. If you ever want to start a YouTube channel, make me your first episode. I got you.
I'm coming. No, I'm coming. I'm only like 2 hours away. We're doing that. That's a must. Yeah, that's a must this season. That's a story we're doing. So, well, Look, this has been great. I got a story out of it. We got a great interview. We are very excited. So and you're welcome. I mean, throughout the season, we're going to try to have you back because it's just too good. You're perfect for this format. So we're going to have you back as a rep for D1 Softball Pod. Thank you so much for joining us today and really excited. Good luck with the season. It's counting down. So we're all excited here too.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
How does she even function? If I was shaking from caffeine, I'm not. I don't even know how she does it, but it obviously works for her.
Oh God. I was like, I mean, I can barely do like one diet iced tea a day. And I'm like, you know, that's my caffeine limit. I was thrilled, but I mean, I'm like, I'm weird like that. I love hearing these little tidbits. I mean, I can watch you play. I can see the numbers, but it's the stuff that like, is just interesting to me is like the human interest stuff. Like her Lexington neighbors go, who the heck is bumping that music? And just like looking like they're like, you know, like going to like a heavy metal concert, shaking from the energy drinks, driving through the hood. So that was thoroughly entertaining for me. She's a great personality. That was a fun interview for me, at least. I had to mute myself from laughing so many times.
Yeah. Kayla Kowalik from Kentucky. I'm excited to read or hear that story with you in the car pregame. I mean, if you that's honestly, like you said, just listening to that stuff and how she gets ready and she was great. So thanks, Kayla, for coming on the show. That's it for the week. Ree, any final thoughts?
No, just the usual subscribe, you know, for us to keep pumping out the content. We need the support. So to support our writers, because we love doing this, but we do need to be able to pay the bills and things. We'd love for you to subscribe. Spread the message. You know, we're trying to get as much softball coverage as we can, and we rely on great, great readers and listeners like you to do that. So d1softball.com. Check out the fall reports, like I said, but in the intro, you got a month to get them all down and consume them all. There's a lot there, and we'll have some great, you know, our top 25 is going to be rolling out soon, and some of the all, you know, our previews with some all conference teams and all Americans. So you're going to want to subscribe now at d1softball.com because it's going to be some really cool stuff. And then once we get that scoreboard rolling again, man, during the season, you're not going to want to miss that. So I just appreciate everyone if they would follow, subscribe, you know, everything, do everything you can to give softball some support at the D1 level.
Yeah. So like, subscribe, head on over to d1softball.com. If you have any comments, let us know what you think. You can email us info@d1softball.com. And that's it for the week. Tara Henry for Rhiannon Potke and the D1 Softball Podcast. We'll see you next week.